Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you all today. Why don't we pray, and then we'll read our Bibles together. God, come to you, and we thank you. You are good and kind, and even the frigid cold reminds us of your power, your goodness, and your creativity, and how awesomely great you are. God, I pray that you would help us to bring that thought and that idea and that way, that feeling, as we open the Word and we read your Word and we listen to your voice in your Word, and that you would indeed speak to us and draw us to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so leaving behind the whole theme of, you know, sickness and death and all the unpleasantness, although this week, so a couple days ago, my hands just decided, you know, like ripe tomatoes when you leave them on the vine too long and they just pop everywhere. My hands just erupted. It's the cold, and it happens every year all the time, and it's been happening. But this week was kind of spectacular. I was just super gluing some fissures a minute ago before I came up because I didn't want to bleed in front of y'all. Fist bump me today. Don't shake my hand. which would have been a great, you know, illustration of our bodies falling apart, but just a week too late, wasn't it? So today we're going to start a new last, at least it looks like the last little mini series in the book of Psalms. It's kind of like we left the punchline till the end. The biggest theme of the book of Psalms, we've hinted at it, we've touched at it, we've read about it. We haven't really dived into it. We haven't gotten into it. It's worship. It's praising God. And if you say, well, wait a second, do we really need to talk about that? Because I know when you say mini-series, the way we do that here, that's going to be number of weeks. Do we need to do that? I mean, goodness, you see where we're at. We're gathered together as the church on a Sunday morning. We've been singing songs of worship to God. We know how to worship. We do that. I would offer a contrarian view that may or may not be true for you, but I think we tend to put worship and praise into a Sunday box, right? So it's something we do when we come together. We come to church and we sing formal songs together. We're led in worship, and we should do that. Something we do, worship is what I do when I go to church. When are you going to worship this week? Well, planning on going Sunday if it's not too cold, and we don't do Sunday nights, so maybe I'll worship Wednesday. I'll worship at least next Sunday then, at the very least, because we think that we do that. We worship, and we do it correctly. We not like the people down the road. We actually worship right. I think there is a danger for us to maybe not take into account how much worship should be a part of our entire lives, because we put it in the box. That's something I do on Sunday, and we should do that. None of this is to take away from this time, but to say there might be something much, much more than that. But because we put it in this Sunday box, it's easy for us to not put it in the rest of our week. In fact, it might be hard for some of us sometimes to, if we were put on the spot, to say, okay, when do you worship? Well, Sundays. Okay, aside from Sundays, what does praising God look like in your life? How would you tell me how to do that? And I might kind of stutter a little bit because, well, don't miss church on Sundays. What else except for that? And if that is even a little bit our reality, that presents a bit of a problem for us, because God talks about worship a ton in the Bible. It's all over the place, from instructions on how to worship him and to that we should worship him. Think of the law of Moses. How much of the law of Moses was not transferred to the new covenant, primarily because it was how to worship God for them under that covenant in that time? So many instructions on how to worship God. And then you have all the examples of his people worshiping him. I mean, Think of the first story in the Bible after creation, roughly the first story. What is it? It's Cain and Abel, right? They're worshiping God. One does it in a way that is pleasing to God. One does it in a way that is not. God's people coming and worshiping him. Some of the greatest stories in the Bible are of Solomon offering thousands of animals to God. Great when he dedicates the temple, moments of worship to God. And then a great chunk of the Bible is dedicated to showing us the disastrous consequences of not worshiping God. Think of literally all the prophets. What are they telling the people? You're not worshiping God, and something really bad is going to happen to you. You didn't worship God, and you're in exile now because something bad has happened to you. You're in exile because you didn't worship God. Worship God and repent and return to him. Maybe the best example, if you just had to choose one of worship in the Bible, it would be, and everybody will have a different one, so I know I can't say best. My favorite today is Revelation chapter 5. We'll start in verse 8. So this is a scene from heaven, and there's a scroll with events in it that will happen, and no one can open it. Say, who can open? And then Jesus is able to open the scroll. When he had taken the scroll, Revelation 5, verse 8, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures, the 24 elders, fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. It just occurred to me, wouldn't you like to know the melody of that? Because if they're singing this to Jesus in his presence, I'm guessing it is a spectacular melody that would probably make us cry. But we don't know. We will someday, Lord willing. Okay. And by your blood, you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. Then I looked and heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads, thousands of thousands. What are they doing? Verse 12, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. Everyone worshiping Jesus, whether it's heavenly beings and the elders and all of the angels, countless angels, and then every living creature. And you say, well, that's all, that's people, right? It is. And then you think, well, the ones in the sea, that's not people diving in the sea. That's fish saying these words. It doesn't say that they're just glorifying God by their presence. It just says they're saying. So every living creature, this is trees and waters and saying. That's what it says. And you know, if there's a different interpretation of that, so be it. But for me, I read that and I say, every living creature, everything, the little ant, there isn't one today, but if there were, little ant saying these, worshiping Jesus. Oh, that could have been. We could have just stayed there all day, but we won't. We'll continue on. But if our tendency, and here's the rub for us, if our tendency is to put worship into the box of something that we do for an hour on Sundays, then I would read that text and the rest of the Bible and say, we need something to wake us up. We need something to wake us up to the reality of worship. We've gotten accustomed to hearing that word, and we know where it belongs and what it is, and maybe something to wake us up to. It should be so much more. Like, wake us up as if you were to, you know, just take a bucket of ice water. And horrible day for that. I wrote this earlier when it wasn't this cold, but this is cruel today, right? Take a bucket of ice water and dump it on your head. And I wrote it, I was remembering when I lived in Honduras and in our little village, the lights, the electricity, and the water would go out randomly because, you know, fragile systems in little village, remote village in Honduras. And a lot of times it went out together, which was, you know, miserable for all the reasons. But then sometimes, you know, there wouldn't be water, which was very miserable because I'm a fan of taking showers frequently. And it was really hot too most of the time. But sometimes the water would be on, which was phenomenal when it was hot, but sometimes it was cold and you wake up in the morning, you have to take a shower because you're going to start your day and it's kind of chilly and there's water, but there's no electricity. And the electricity is important because there's a little thing, shower head, that you hook, in retrospect, might have been dangerous, but you hook it directly to electricity and it heats the water as it goes through it. And you stand under that water. So again, all the problems with that. But not having that's even worse, because then you get this freezing cold water and it's cold and it's personally miserable. We need something like that, something to wake us up, something to make us see and feel the reality of how important worship is, not just on Sundays, not just in the congregation, but all the time. So let's start this little series on worship with just standing underneath, as it were, the bucket of the Psalms and letting the enormity of the instructions, the commandments, the examples to worship God pour over us, and let ourselves, this is my invitation to you this morning, as we read, let's let ourselves be overwhelmed with the need to dedicate our lives to worshiping and glorifying and magnifying God. Today's goal is just to wake us up to that, if it were possible. And the longer that we've been around church, the harder that is. So let's read. And may God, through His Spirit, do that work in our hearts. Go to Psalm 29. We'll just go in order. We won't read all the Psalms. We won't read all the Psalm, the entire Psalms of everyone we hit, but we'll hit these commands to worship God, some of them. So Psalm 29, verse 1, ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength, ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Commandments. Psalm 66. We're going to jump, but these will all be in order, I promise you. Verse 1, Psalm 66, verse 1. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of His name. Give Him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies come cringing to you. All the earth worships you and sings praises to you. They sing praises to your name. Then jump to verse 8. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of His praises be heard. Psalm 89, verse 1. I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. Skip to verse 5. Let the heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness in the assembly of the holy ones. Jump to 92, Psalm 92, verse 1. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night, to the music of the lute and the harp, to the melody of the lyre. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. At the works of your hands I sing for joy. Or Psalm 95, verse 1. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to Him with songs of praise. Jump to verse 6. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Okay, my translation says before the Lord our Maker, but we sang it differently before. So Psalm 96, verse 1. O sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name, tell of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among all the peoples. Psalm 98, verse 1. O sing to the Lord a new song, for He has done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm have worked salvation for Him. The Lord has made known His salvation. He has revealed His righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered His steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Verse 4, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and praises. Sing to the Lord with lyre, with the lyre, with the sound of melody, trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Verse 7, let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and all who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. This is creation singing to Jesus. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord. For he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the people with equity. Psalm 100, verse 1, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good and his steadfast love endures forever and his faithfulness to all generations. Psalm 105. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Tell of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Psalm 106. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Psalm 108, my heart is steadfast, O God. I will sing and make melody with all my being. Awake, O harp and lyre. I will awake the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among all the peoples. I will sing praises to you among all the nations. Psalm 113, praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is high among all, above all the nations, and his glory above the heavens. Psalm 115. Go to verse 17. The very end. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor do any who go down the silence, but we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Psalm 117. Praise the Lord, all nations, extol him, all peoples, for great is his steadfast love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. 118. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Verse 28, same psalm, you are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, and I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Psalm 135, verse 1, oh, praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Give praise, O servants of the Lord, who stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing to his name, for it is pleasant. Psalm 136, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. And then just glance down the rest of that psalm, continue saying the same thing and saying what he has done. Psalm 138, I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. I bow down before your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness, for you have exalted above all things your name and your word. 145, verse 1, I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Skip to the end, go to 21. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. 147. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and the song of praise is fitting. Verse 7, same psalm, sing to the Lord with thanksgiving, make melody to our God on the lyre. Verse 12, praise the Lord, O Jerusalem, praise your God, O Zion. 148, praise the Lord from the heavens, praise him in the heights, praise him all his angels, praise him all his hosts, praise him sun and moon, praise him all you shining stars, praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the heavens. 149, praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the godly. Let Israel be glad in his maker. Let the children of Zion rejoice in their king. Let them praise his name with dancing, making melody to him with tambourine and lyre. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He adorns the humble with salvation. Let the godly exalt in glory. Let them sing for joy on their beds. I still don't do that. When I lay down to go to bed at night, I've read this before and I said, I need to do that. I don't remember. It doesn't seem like a right moment. We're supposed to lay down before we go to sleep. Sing to Jesus. 150. Okay, we are at the end. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with trumpet sound. Praise Him with lute and harp. Praise Him with tambourine and dance. Praise Him with strings and pipe. Praise Him with sounding cymbals. Praise Him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You might have seen, if you're paying attention, a bit of a theme emerge in this reading, right? It's just over and over and over again, pounding on us. And the big idea that I see in this text, in all of these texts, put them together, is this. This is what we were made for. We were created to praise God, to worship Him, to lift up His name, to give Him glory. And you say, well, the text didn't specifically, explicitly say those words. Didn't, but here's how I get there from those texts. It's, look at the universality of this commandment to praise God. This is not one of those, you know, don't covet your neighbor's wife. Okay, that's stated a few times in different ways, right? This is over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Also, I get to this idea that we are created for this by looking at all the examples of Him saying, we will do this. I'm doing this for my whole life. As long as I have breath, this is what I'm going to do. We were created to praise God. We're created to worship our Creator, to glorify Him. And if objectively we struggle to focus a fraction of our life on worshiping God and praising Him. If we struggle to do that just for a tiny part of our life, then we say, but I was made to do that. That's what I was made to do, not just this little tiny part of my life. I'm supposed to do that. So if I were to start dedicating myself to that purpose, to the thing that I was actually made for, not just for a little bit of my life, but for all of my life, if that's what I start giving myself to more and more, wouldn't my life have more meaning? Wouldn't my life be full of more joy and satisfaction if I'm doing more of the thing that I was created to do? And the answer, of course, is yes, it would. So that's why. And this might be selfish because I want this for me, but so we're going to do it together. when you're the preacher, you kind of get to say, I want this for me. So, you know, y'all got to come along. But I think it'll be good for all of us. I want us to spend the next few weeks just diving into this and saying, okay, if this is what I'm supposed to, this is what I was created for, then I want more of that. And so how and when and what does it look like and how do I get more of this in my life? What are things that take it out of my life? How do I give myself to more of that? But that'll be for the next few weeks. What should we do today? What would be an application for us today? And if you're a Christian and we're reading this together and you say, what should I do? My answer is maybe the Spirit is giving you something else to do. And so do that. But my answer for all of us for an application is pretty simple. Just try to remember for this week, just as much as you can, tell yourself as you're doing other things, I should worship God. I'm supposed to, I was created to worship God. Just remind yourself of that. And then take notes, like in your mind. Take notes of how in that moment, as you remind yourself, I was created to worship God. I'm supposed to worship God. Just as you're doing, you know, whatever, the dishes, whatever you're doing. Then take notes of how the Holy Spirit moves you to worship in that moment. So remind yourself, I'm supposed to worship. And then just see what transpires. If you're not a Christian, the glorious God made you to worship Him. That's why you were created. And the greatest form, the biggest way to worship Him, even more than singing to Him, even more than coming to church, even more than trying to be a better person, much more than all those things, is to fall to your knees before Him and decide to surrender to Him by repenting and being baptized. And when you do that, when you come up out of the water, you'll be forgiven. You'll be adopted into His family. He'll put His Spirit into you, and then you will be able to worship your Creator in spirit and in truth. And in this community, when you say, I want that, I'm ready for that, I want to worship him by surrendering to him, tell one of us who's been up here, you can repent and be baptized. And we end, as we always do. I'm so glad we end this way, or include this every week, with a very special moment of worship. As we take the bread and the juice, this is, we're remembering Jesus, but even greater than that, as we remember him, we're worshiping together. That's why we do this together, one of the many reasons. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Look at the words of worship. That's what we're going to do together. So as we take bread, we take juice, we'll worship. We'll worship Jesus by remembering what he's done for us, as we were told to do. Remember that. We'll worship that. We'll worship him by proclaiming his death to the world. That includes us. That includes angels who or demons or any spiritual beings that would observe this. It includes those among us who are not Christians yet observing. We're proclaiming the death of our Lord, that we're worshiping him. We worship as we examine ourselves and surrender ourselves more to him as we take the bread and the juice, and we worship by thanking him. So let's do that together. God, we come to you right now and we thank you. You are good and kind and loving, and you give us these moments to remember our purpose. Remember that you made us to worship you, and to remember what you did to make us your children. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross and the incredible sacrifice that we can't even begin to imagine, the pain that you endured in our place. Thank you for rising from the grave with power. Thank you that in all that, you give us salvation. We can be your children. We can know and love you. We can be forgiven. And we can live with the hope, the living hope, the real hope that we will rise from our grave someday. Jesus, we worship you and we love you. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's take the bread together.